I'm in seminary, as some of you or all of you may know. And so I had a lot of work to do. And then, as divine fate would have it, this past Monday, I knew when I got my email from, I believe, Isabel from the church, if I'm not mistaken, right? What is your scripture? And what is your message and your title of your sermon or your message today? And so that was the deadline. And I said, oh, I've had it for 3 weeks, so let me just email her back. It would be so quick to email her back with this. I'm so prepared. And so I ran out to CVS, and while I was at CVS picking out a birthday card, I overheard several women speaking at the end of the aisle. It's always a bad thing to eavesdrop on women, isn't it? I couldn't help it. I was there, and I heard an unusual conversation. Well, maybe not so unusual, but a conversation that piqued my interest. They both had costumes over their arms. It was apparent that they knew each other. It clearly became apparent that they were attending the same church. And one had an Elsa from Frozen. If you're familiar, you have children or grandchildren from the Frozen story. She had Elsa costume draped over her arm. And the other one had a Wonder Woman costume draped over her arm. And so they were chatting back and forth, preparing themselves for the eventual Halloween day, trick-or-treating. And, you know, one of the women turned to the other and said, you know, I'm so happy that now we can have our Halloween celebration at the church. I was so fearful several years ago when we had a Halloween celebration and we had those protesters who came up and scared the children. Those protesters who, frankly, as one woman was talking to the other, saying traumatized her daughter, made her daughter cry. Now, this got my attention, as I say, and I started thinking about this, and I started thinking about what were they really talking about? What were they talking about, these protesters? I didn't understand. What kind of protesters were they? And so this got my attention. And especially the idea as I drove home about what would happen if that happened to my daughter who sits in the audience today. She goes to a celebration, a Halloween party, to be entertained, to have fun with family. Goes to a church maybe even to what they might call a Halloween festival. And so-called, potentially, and I'll put it in a little bit of a different way, maybe some different-minded Christian advocates were thinking differently about the concept of Halloween. Maybe with all the right intentions, but just different thinking. But the actions that they took against this young, against all the children and the parents there, how was I to discern this in this question of Halloween? And by the way, how was I to discern this based on where I am now in my life? Moving into potentially ministry, what about this question of Halloween? But on the way home, I just couldn't get this out of my mind. So on Tuesday morning, just before I sent Isabel the email, I did what? Changed my whole sermon. Made my whole week bobbing for answers, as I said on our program, trying to come up with something to deliver today that made sense of this whole thing. So, speaking the truth in love from Ephesians, I kind of abandoned. I thought on the way home, who were these protesters, as I said? Who were these Christian advocates they spoke of? And what was the church's position on this Halloween? What was the Christian advocate position, by the way, on this? What official position should we take? And by the way, what real effort had I made to understand this in 40-plus years of trick-or-treating and Halloween? So, but by the way, before I go any further with the message, I would like you to know that my intent is not to provide a message that means to deliver opinions or potentially evoke any type of issues, but only of consideration as I had. And so when I got home, as I said, I began furiously working on another message. I started to bob for apples in Scripture. So using that metaphor, I was hoping to come up with the perfect verse from Scripture, right, that I could defend or potentially understand more about this. This discernment would be more about what this I'll call later, or we'll discuss more about the Halloween debate. We'll keep it at that. And then unfortunately, metaphorically speaking, I found myself caught over this big barrel of apples of Scripture, potentially trying to find the answer, and they all look the same, and I'm pushing one in one direction and one in the other way. And you know how it is with bobbing for apples, right? I don't know if you've, anybody ever bobbed for apples here as a kid or throughout their life, right? It's difficult. The game of bobbing for apples, it's they're pushed away by gravity, by the water, right? And the more you go after them, the more they move away, right? There's a little trick to it, which I learned, which I looked up, which may help us with this message if I get to it. So the more I pushed the Scripture away, the more it became difficult for me to quickly, over several days, come up with some type of definitive message. And so I ran out of time on Tuesday, by the way, and I must confess I submitted Scripture, John 4:23, which will have nothing to do with today. But by Wednesday evening, I had this bobbing for apples game down, because what I had realized was that I was actually playing the game very wrong. In fact, Dick alluded to something in his prayer which I think is appropriate. I was trying to make Scripture fit into my message as opposed to the Scripture itself, the message fitting into Scripture. Sometimes using Scripture in our own or for our own purposes is very dangerous, isn't it? Kind of maybe the way two people might argue with each other and use Scripture. Now, that's not to say that one would be right or one would be wrong. It's just a matter of interpretation, isn't it? A matter of perspective. And then I realized what exactly what at hand for me was that it is about that. And it's about that for the Halloween debate, isn't it? It's not the idea of finding Scripture to defend oneself. It's about that idea of Scripture coming forward as the apple, because, by the way, that's the trick in bobbing for apples. As the apple floats towards you, you grasp it. That's the trick. And so that helped me provide more direction for the message. Plainly spoken, I pondered and pondered and, most importantly, tried to understand, should we participate in these activities, these so-called, as I heard from the conversation that was, and after doing a little bit more research, supposedly, and quite frankly, paganistic? Should we be going to parties and trick-or-treating, as we've found out? But more importantly, it struck me something very funny. What should our attitude be toward Christians who have differing opinions? And that's what I think the message is more about today. So let's open up that bag of candy, as they say, for Halloween, and unpack that to find out a little bit more. Now, for many of us, I won't go too much into the history, but I think it's worth reminding in the context of this message, where did Halloween come from? Anybody remember Anybody in here Irish, Scottish, or Welsh? Well, we thank you for Halloween. That's where Halloween came from. It is a tradition that started in Ireland and moved to England. And without getting into too much detail, it basically was, to some degree, a pagan festival, right? It was this idea that Halloween, for many of the European cultural traditions, was recognized at the end of the summer and was near the harvest. In the beginning of winter, it marked, and so therefore it became what? An idea of death upon us. And what could we do with this idea of death that was upon us? Of course, here in South Florida, we have no worries of that, right? There's no winters, so therefore there are endless summers, and we're all lively, good-looking people and live healthy, right? Strong, good-looking men and women, well-adjusted children. Thank goodness for no winters, right? And they called it Samhain Festival, the fire festival, which I found kind of ironic because contrary to the prevailing idea of hell, I guess evil spirits don't like the fire because they use bonfires to ward off spirits. So that was kind of ironic. The term Halloween was shortened from All Hallows' Eve, and I think that's most common what we find is that idea. And it, of course, was prior or the day before what we actually do celebrate as Christians, which is the All Saints' Day, which is on November 1st. And, of course, that means the All Holy One. By the way, a little sidebar here. I emailed Pastor Wally to find out a little bit about this because I was concerned about this controversy. And he said, oh, no, everything's okay, John. We have a very celibate, we have a great body, a congregation who loves to celebrate parties. But more importantly, they understand the idea of Christian worship for All Saints' Day. There are many images, as you're all well familiar with, and one of the things that comes up is the jack-o'-lantern, right? The jack-o'-lantern is a big image for us during Halloween. How many know the history of the jack-o'-lantern out there? It's quite interesting. No hands, I see no hands raised. Quite interesting. We take it for granted today. We carve pumpkins, right? We have a good time at it. The jack-o'-lantern can actually be traced back to, again, thanks to the Irish legends, a story called of a man called Jack Stingy. A greedy, gambling, hard-drinking old farmer who tricked the devil into climbing a tree and trapped him by carving a cross on the trunk of the tree. In summary, it is basically a story about revenge or how the devil was placed a curse on Jack. It sounds like the Jack Stingy was using a cross for his own self-interest, doesn't it? And that's why bad things happened. And of course, we know today that no one uses the cross or Christianity for self-interest, right? But the bigger part of the story or the legend deals with something quite appropriate. Culturally, it made the story, as many of these stories do, it made the story about not dealing with the devil, about greed being bad and unclean living being bad, and was used in type of a, as we do in culture, used as stories to remind us of what to think or potentially what not to think. Of course, today, Halloween, children, as I say, carve out pumpkins with maybe even no idea of Jack Stingy's story. Just something fun to do. Other imagery, which, by the way, my daughter and son and I look forward to in the last several years, about this time, putting on an old, I say old, when I grew up, a classic of a Charlie Brown Halloween, right? The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. We also love watching the old Universal movies from Abbott and Costello, right? The Wolfman and Meets Dracula and Frankenstein. We put it on and have our popcorn on Friday nights and have a family time. It's a lot of fun. It's all from the 20th century, by the way. Only in the last 80 to 100 years. And so, something that's much more, I thought, interesting was, and maybe this grabs you, how much money we spend on Halloween from year to year. Now, shortly speaking, we have gone from, as far back as I could get information as a marketing person, in 1982, about $2.2 billion as a country. Today, we're spending over $9.1 billion as a country on this celebration. In fact, this celebration is second only in spending of celebrations to Christmas. So it's quite interesting. The numbers are amazing. The history is amazing. But, you know, getting back to a little bit of the message about Halloween or this great Halloween debate, I, as I said, grew up in the 1970s. And the 1970s were a time of not only great Halloween memories for me. And by the way, there's, for those of you who remember, those costumes that used to have the masks that you couldn't breathe out of, those plastic College View, I think they're called College View or Bob Hastings masks. Boy, times have changed. Things have come a long way, right? But there's something else in the 1970s which is quite interesting, and that is the family. How many remember the Brady Bunch? The ideal, right, American family of the 1970s. And by the way, did everyone see the one, you watched the Brady Bunch, the one TV special where they actually had this great debate about Halloween, where Mike and Carol Brady actually had a debate about whether they should trick-or-treat? Anyone see all that? You didn't see that? I'm probably good, because I just made that up. But let me actually use them as a metaphor or a story to maybe drive home a point today. Let's take it from that angle to protect, if you will, the guilty. So when Mike and Carol Brady met, and as you all know the story, they each had three children, they decided to, as Halloween approached, they were a little bit surprised at what they had gotten into. So you see, as it turns out, Halloween was going to be an issue for both of them. They were arguing of whether it should be celebrated or not, as you can guess. Carol had the opinion that it should not be. Mike said it should be. So they decided to do a little bit of independent Bible study and come back and talk to each other about it. And so Carol came back and said, "Mike, I did the study, and the origins of the most of the symbols of Halloween are rooted in evil and Satanism." And she quoted Deuteronomy, as many people do, "When you enter the land of the Lord, your God is giving you, do not lean to imitate the despicable ways of the nations there. Let no one find among you sacrifices for sons or daughters in fire." And she went on to quote another biblical passage from Revelation. "But the cowardly and unbelieving are abominable, and they will burn in fire of brimstone, which is the second death. She said, Mike, the second point is that making light of the devil is not something we should do. It tempts sin. She referred to Jude, 9 and 10, and she made her argument. Michael, the archangel, when disputed with the devil, argued about the body of Moses. But these men revile things that they do not understand and which they know by instinct. Like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Finally, she said, Mike, the real Satanists are witches that take this day very seriously. And so that was Carol's position. She laid it out from her scripture readings. And so Mike said, wait a minute. I have a few arguments to make myself. He said, here's why a Christian should not feel that Halloween is a bad thing to celebrate. While the origins, in fact, do have Satanistic or paganistic questionable origins, those origins are ancient and really have no meaning to our culture today. In fact, when we look at other acceptable holidays, we'd be careful because other holidays have some paganistic ideas in them as well. So the children who dress up like Batman or Cinderella or go trick-or-treating or are practicing witchcraft, as you say, I don't think that's really the point at all. And by the way, for those of us who make adaptations to our concepts, I mentioned earlier about Elsa, the princess, right, from Frozen, or Wonder Woman, to make things easier for us, maybe we ought to look at those as well, because they have some paganistic issues behind those meanings too. In other words, Wonder Woman, if those of you that follow comics, was taken from what? Princess Diana, a Greek god, paganistic. In fact, her name was Diana Prince in the comic book. If you look at Elsa, she's what? From a Hans Christian Andersen story about a witch. So we may look at what we believe and what we don't believe and what we take into consideration. And so, yes, Mike picked up Carol's Bible and turned to Timothy and said, God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. She was confused. He then turned to Corinthians and said, why should my freedom be judged by another person's conscience? So you see this back and forth, idea that they could go at it, as I said earlier, with Scripture. The point is that eventually they had to come to some type of understanding. And they couldn't. And Mike said, frankly, Carol, I think you're being very unrealistic about this. I think you're being very unrealistic about this whole situation. And when we got married, I didn't know that you were such a paganistic person. Now imagine the Bradys saying that to each other. But then Mike said, you know what? I have a poem I'd like to read to you, Carol. And it went like this. I was shocked and confused, bewildered, as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but if all the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the drug pushers and the trash. There stood a kid from my seventh grade who swiped my lunch and my money, my lunch money he took. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Another man who I always thought was rotting away in hell was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus and I said, "What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How do all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake." And why is everybody so quiet, so somber, by the way? Please give me a clue. "Hush, child," he said. "They're all in shock because they didn't expect to see you here too." Well, Carol's face got terribly red. Terribly red. She said, "I never, Mike. I never. I can't believe this." And you know what happened next? They went to pastoral counseling. They went to pastoral counseling with a Presbyterian minister, who, by the way, and really comes to the emphasis of this message, made some very interesting and very solid points. He first said that they both had very solid points and were very good. Secondly, he said, there should be respect for both of you, and you should respect each other. But there it is, a more important thing about this whole conversation. It was the truth about human relationships, whether it be how people treat each other, on their opinions of Halloween, in Christian life, whether it be in their marriages. Because as we know, it happens in marriage, doesn't it? It happens in parenting. It happens in churches. And of course, it happens about the topic of Halloween. So, relationships can be damaged by truth. Right? It's not always important to tell the truth, is it? Or can truth hurt? Can the truth hurt? Can't we not be right and wrong sometimes and overlook the truth? Well, as I said, this pastor was an extremely effective pastor. The kind of pastor I actually admire. And he came out with one other thing. And he said this to Mike and Carol. He told them this story. He said, he knew of a woman who was arrested for shoplifting. And this woman went before the judge. And the judge said, "What did you steal?" And she replied, "I stole a package of Hershey bars." How appropriate for Halloween time. The judge asked her why she had stolen the package of Hershey bars, and she said, well, she was hungry. And then the judge asked how many Hershey bars were actually in the package. She said 6. And just as the judge was to slam his gavel down and sentence her, her husband said, hold it. May I have a message here? May I have a word here? She said, of course, go ahead, speak. He said, what is it? And the husband said, she also stole a whole bag of candy corns. A whole bag of candy corns. That went flat, didn't it? There's many more candy corns, many more days for, okay. Thank you, sir. At least I'll get one person shaking hands on the way out. Anyway, the point is, without love, are we actually Christians? What is the true meaning of Christianity? It's to find the love. And you know, even with those stories, Mike and Carol and all of us should recognize that that is the truth. The truth is that, as I said in the beginning of this message, that I had abandoned the thought of Scripture speaking the truth in love from what Pastor Wally had inspired me, and found myself exactly in the same place at the end of the week. That the reality is, no matter what our differences, no matter what it is, we come back to love. Symbols require us to understand love and tell stories and get to that point. And so, I will say this. There are many things at Halloween time that are scary, but I would submit that for children and for adults alike. It can also be perceived that a man who hangs from a piece of wood is a frightening, frightening image. But until you actually understand the story, and until you actually give it meaning, you are not moving from, you can move from gore to glory. And that is the point. My friends, the importance of faith, hope, and love are virtues that have long been celebrated, no matter what holiday. In fact, we as Christians consider these to be the most important theological views that human mankind can worship and be proud of and come to God before Him. We are not to be confused by mystics, devils, or superstitions of our faith. And I think we have the discernment to do so. Some people think that 13 is a superstitious number. In closing, I guess I will say that if 13 was to be used twice, it might be twice as bad, right? Well, let me say this. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest, there is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Let's celebrate faith, hope, and love, and speak the truth in love. And do this every day, Halloween and every celebration. Amen.